and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Did you want to call the roll? Do you need that?
No, I do not.
Okay. Are there any additions or corrections to the minutes of November 10th? Hearing none, we'll stand as printed. Is there anyone in the audience? Never mind.
Keep it down back then.
Yeah.
Well, first and foremost, Happy New Year to you all. Same to you. December financials.
Everybody got a copy of the December financials? Is there any questions on them?
I did have a question about the cash flow. So there's none for November, right? It's just December and then year to date. It's on page 7, I think.
Yes.
Okay.
Any other questions or comments?
This is Tom. I just had one comment. Under distribution, I noticed that one account was greatly overrun, and I know a large portion of that was the payment that we made for well 4. Were there any other big items that made up that huge overrun there?
Yes, it's the depreciation was put in early because we're going to Evans Pass accounting now 4 times a year. So rather than have depreciation show up at the end of the year, it's now showing up quarterly.
Okay.
And then I have.
So has our budget for 2019 been crafted in such a way that it reflects that? No.
I'm going to say no.
And then I had another question on the bills we paid.
Mm-hmm. What page are you on, please?
It's page 8. Okay. And there's 2 for CCWD. One's for November wholesale water, and one is November CPPA. What is the CPPA?
You get lower rate on well 3 and the treatment plant because
it's public power authority.
It's a lower rate than PG&E rate on well 3.
Oh, so it's electricity.
CPPA is part of a result of the construction of New Milani's, local jurisdictions were guaranteed a benefit of some of the generation at the dam. And so 12 main Calaveras County public agencies pay, it's a significantly reduced rate. It depends, it fluctuates a little bit. But it's in the past, it's been as much as 50% of PG&E's rates.
Wow.
Public agencies can take advantage of it. Because of that, CCWD and Blue Lake Springs jointly own certain facilities so that we can get the CPPA rate. Because as a mutual water company, we're not eligible for CPPA rates.
Oh, okay.
But because CCWD owns half of it, we
And that's complicated because it is.
Yeah, that's fine. I saw the water.
Complicated.
Yeah. Well.
I need more coffee.
Yeah.
Yeah. Any other questions, comments on the December financials? Item next is the manager's report.
Okay. Usage for the month of December is a little bit higher than last year. I think more people came up for the holidays we had, but ski resort was going. Mm-hmm. It wasn't going last year, if I remember, or it was very little snow, so.
We're lucky.
We're a little bit higher in usage, but not tremendously higher. If you take charts out here. Usage. If you look at the usage chart for 2018, the total usage for 2018, we're a little bit lower than 2017. About a million, a little bit over a million, what is it, a million and a half gallons lower. Which isn't, you know, it's just saying to me that, you know, we're in a steady state of usage. If you look back, if you go back a few years to say 2014, you see 46 million there. And we had 2015, which was our drought stage three. And we asked people to conserve and they did that, so that was a lot lower. But then if you go on to 2016, 17, and then 18, it's all pretty steady usage total at 46 million. And then this year's a little less, but it tells me that our usage has been steady over the past few years. And that's a good thing. I mean, there's lots of things that affect usage, so all those things being said, if you got a hot summer maybe, or you got more people coming up, when some years you got percentage of full-time to part-time, all those other factors don't, you know, it's still staying about pretty steady.
What's interesting to note is that the usage in the hot summer months was actually lower this summer, which I thought was hotter than prior years.
Right.
I think a lot of people left also because of all the smoke.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I think, you know, you couldn't go outside really. So maybe not a lot, but
went back to the Bay Area where you couldn't breathe. We couldn't see the house across the street from us.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Poor folks.
So that's the usage part of it. The production for December from the wells was half of the total production for the month. So we bought half of our water from Calaveras County Water District. And we produced half out of our wells. And for the year in production, we bought a little bit more water from CCWD than we pumped. From the wells, about 800,000 gallons, we bought more than we pumped. So it still remains about 50-50. I mean, if you go back a couple of years, it's always been around half and half, and it's still pretty close to that.
That's by design.
Well, it's good because, you know, the half that we buy from CCWD is up on the on the upper side from the golf course. It's on the high side, Lilac Park side, the town side. So it's a little bit warmer on that side. So you'd think there'd be more irrigation going on and probably more usage, but really it's ending up being about half and half. And drawdown in the wells, you go to that one, you'll see that drawdown is a feet of water above the pump intake. So that's how much water we have in our, you could call it storage, of our water storage in the wells. And that has, we're still in really good shape there.
If you are, and some of you are, if you're new to the board, you've never heard that term before. In a surface water company, in the middle of the lake, there's a stick that comes out of the lake somewhere and has a number of feet on it. And it's very easy to judge how much water then when you compute it is in the lake. Down on the ground is a little bit different. We can't see how much water is there. We don't have any sticks down on the ground, but we measure the water that accumulates over the top of the pump that we have in our well. And the higher the accumulation, the stronger the inventory. That makes sense. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So if you look at well three, you'll see December is 100. The high end of it was 158 feet, and it tops out on well three about 170 feet. So we're way up there on that one, which is expected. And then on well four, we have 772 feet above the pump, so we have plenty of water in that one. We pumped a lot during the holidays, so on the low drawdown on well four, it dropped quite a bit. A lot of that depends on when they record the level. If they record the level right after a run, it's going to be lower. So that you can see that the low drawdown dropped a bit, but it just depends on when I get the information from the guys. But basically, we're in great shape on both of our wells, the operating wells we have.
Questions or comments? Anything else, Dave?
I think that's all. I mean, I'm gonna say that, you know, for 2019, we're gonna probably be looking at similar total usage, barring any, you know, big disasters or anything. It's really pretty steady, and it gives us a good, well, the LRPC can use that for, mm-hmm. you know, planning purposes. But that's all I have.
Any questions or comments to the manager? Thank you. Item next, John Pedry. John, do you know everybody here? We have one new. You met Mark?
Yeah, we've been there for you.
Oh, okay. You're on.
That. Yeah, I'm here to kind of give you an update on the project. As you see when you drive around, things are buttoned up right now. And the reason is they're kind of slowing down a little bit because of winter. And if you look at the schedule, which we don't have in front of you, but there's a construction schedule that shows them doing a lot of, Mazingo doing house services and putting in retrofit meters and maybe tying up loose ends like adjusting hydrants and things. So they'll be out here the next 2 weeks kind of off and on. It just depends on the weather. And then we have another issue with our spoils pile. As the rain comes, it's difficult to get the equipment, the dump trucks, into the spoils pile because it gets a little sloppy and wet. So we just don't see a lot happening this winter. It just depends. If we have a long drought in winter like we had a couple years ago, they may get a lot of work done. But we'll see them out there off and on. It's a little tough for me to try to schedule because sometimes from day to day, I just don't know based on whether they're going to be here. So I do have two inspectors, just so you know, on the job. One's the name Robert Lee. He was an inspector on the Sky High Water Project, up the hill from us, and it was a USDA project also, which is kind of nice to have a person that's familiar with USDA, and even the people at USDA know Robert, so it's kind of nice. And then the other inspector is Jose Diaz, who works for us at MC Engineering, and Jose's an inspector that's well-versed, to be honest with you, in meter installations on this top of his list. He is spearheading the Riverside County Water Meter Replacement Program right now. So he goes down to Riverside County off and on. So I got him and Robert kind of exchanging days and scheduling in advance. So we have a good team watching the project. But overall, they've installed approximately 1,350 feet of 8-inch pipe. An 8-inch main typically runs along Linda Drive. Some of the mains that leave the water plant have to be sized a little bit larger because of head losses. So we have about 1,350 feet of 8-inch main installed. We have about 1,900 feet of 6-inch main installed. On the 4-inch, we have 2,400 linear feet of 4-inch. And then 2-inch, 650, and an inch and a quarter is about 800 feet installed to date. And just so you know, on the 6 and 8, those are the mains that typically are in the streets. The 4 and 2s are typically at the end of a line or a cul-de-sac. Instead of going with a big 6-inch, we go with a 2-inch. We just got to make sure we place our hydrants strategically on the 6-inch main to get the most flow and most pressure on the hydrants. And Yeah, everything's going really good. I'm really happy with their construction efforts. To date, we spent about $1,771,000 in construction costs. Now, that's a big number. The reason is that we allowed them to pre-purchase material. A lot of times, you know, you'll buy material as you go, you order it. One of the problems we had was the tariff issue with China. Some of the fittings are coming from China, and some of the pipe, there's some issues with some of the pipes, so USDA allowed them to pre-purchase their material. So we have a big hit with an upfront cost of material. We will reduce the amount of progress payment on a pro-rata basis based on the material, based on the amount of work, if that makes any sense. So you get hit up front, but then as you go through the project, they're billing you for less based on the amount of work they're doing, if that makes any sense, to compensate for that pre-purchased material. So that's why it's at $1,771,000.
Is that material on site?
Yeah, that's a very important issue. The USDA required that we inspect all the locations. So we've been to the Oakdale facility. I even had the USDA person meet with our inspector, Robert, in Oakdale. We've taken inventories of all the material here on site. So we got a complete list and table of all the material. We got photographs. Yeah, we had to verify that. And that's something I'm going to watch. Mazinka knows that. We're going to watch that very closely. I've been through that before. So, yeah, so that's the reason we're at 1.7. But it's good for everybody that we did that. I think it would be a real hardship not having to deal with those
Especially good
increases.
For Ferguson.
What's that?
Especially good for Ferguson.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, you know, yeah, Ferguson's following the bag. Yeah, I work with Ferguson in Sacramento and the Ferguson Modesto. Yeah, they're good to work with. I really enjoy working with Ferguson. Really good people. And they'll give me an honest answer if I have a number I don't like on the change order component. I know who to call and say, I'll go to the Sacramento guy. He didn't know I'm talking to the Modesto guy, so I can price what the component should be. But overall, the project's going real good. I'm really happy, and I mentioned this already to Bob, is that the fact that we have a local contractor, I think, means a lot. I've dealt with McGuire and Hester's, DeSilva Gates, Tykert's, Granite's, all of them. And the bigger they are, sometimes they look at a bigger picture, but these guys focus in on the minutiae. The minutiae, in my opinion, is the ability to clean up your project after, or your site after you get the work done, the job done. They do a great job in cleaning up the work. They know people around here. Everybody knows everybody. So there's a lot of pride in what they're doing. So having that local, I think, has been a real asset to this project. I'm really happy that we did get a local. So overall, the project's going. I had a monthly report. I don't know if you want me to go into it, but it goes over just a little litany of things.
Yeah, would you run through those numbers? I don't understand them at all.
Which numbers?
I'm looking at the December 23 project report. It would be page 12 in the deck.
Okay.
And which number, Andy?
Well, this is your memo to Dave Hicks dated December 23, 18.
Okay. The number's on the top part of it?
Yes.
Yeah, let me just, I can go through this. What I've done here is kind of give you a running scenario of all the costs to date that's been expended on the project. And these are strictly design costs on that. So this has nothing to do with construction. These are design costs on that item number one in the billing. Costs to date, I mentioned prior cost based on the existing studies and environmental work is $156,000. That was all planning. And then we had a total budget. Now that's separate from the total budget with USDA. It's eligible. It's included in the budget. We have a total of $1,784,461 in contracts based on the letter of conditions for design, construction management, miscellaneous work. And then we have amendments that we had added during design. And then we have some additional service costs remaining of
$29,000.
My eyes are bad. That's 29. And then that leaves total additional services at $276,484. We had budget cost, like I mentioned, authorized budget so far. The budget for design, less The additional services is $1,473,516. And then I included the amendments there. Amendment number 1, 2, 3, and 4 at $247,000. And then we had a contingency transfer with amendment 1 of $34,000. If you remember, amendment 1 was a big amendment that allowed us to look at taking the pipe that runs from the water plant to tank 4, which is an independent line that fed tank 4. And the purpose there for Dave was to be able to bring water from the water plant to tank 4, and then from tank 4 they can run, they can interconnect with CCWD. Well, since you have the agreement with CCWD, there is no need to bring water from the water plant to tank 4. So the water plant basically pumps up to tank 6. So tank 4 is fed from CCWD. So that's where the 50% of the water comes from in Dave's system, is from tank 4. So we were able to look at that line and use it as a distribution line within the system. Instead of having to put a whole new line in from the water plant all the way up almost to tank 4, we decided to go ahead and use that for a kind of a main service line and put hydrants on it. And then we're also upgrading as a part of this the booster station to be able to take water from a new booster station from the tank 4 area and pump it up to 6, so we have a loop system now. We can go from tank 4 to 6 with CCWD water. We can also go with Blue Lake Springs well water and backfeed CCWD in the event they need water. And according to Dave, CCWD has asked for water quite a few times in their system. So that's what one of the big amendments were in the design, and we were able to save, I believe, I don't have the numbers, quite a bit of construction money to be able to put that, reuse that that single serve line. And Andy, as I go through it, we had a recent October invoice here of $48,393.64, and that would have been for construction management. So as of July, within our budget of $1,473,000, with the amendments of $1,755,000, as of July, we are billing the construction management portion of the project. Phases 1, 2, and 3, which are all design-related phases, have been closed out, 100% completed. So we're now in the construction management phase. And so any of the invoices you see will come out of the construction. There's another spreadsheet that I don't know if you have, Andy, but we send to Sharon and Tom. It breaks out all the costs on a month-to-month basis. So that's a good one to look at, give you an idea how the cash flow is going and how we're working with the projects as we move through.
So if I understand, John, you know, the numbers that you presented here, I'm looking at the authorized budget remaining. So you've got $513,000, just over $500,000
yes.
left.
Yeah, at the end result.
In the budget.
Yes, and that includes one inspector and me part-time doing it, admin, working with USDA, working with Sharon and Tom on other issues, and Dave, but it basically, right now we...
It's also project management.
Yeah, project management, yeah. There's a lot of that going on. Yeah, and I have weekly meetings every Thursday with the contractor. We meet for at least an hour. We have a whole group in here. We go over all the issues, change orders, and we'll have the county. He always shows up, the county inspector's always here. And so everybody's here. We talk, I have my geotech here. I have a geotechnical consultant, Andy, which I didn't bring up. So part of the cost on this 513 is having the geotech come out and run compaction tests. And so everybody comes together in those weekly meetings. So there is that management time. Yeah.
But I would point out that the geotech is about 80,000 of this.
Because
they're the ones making sure that that property's put back together properly, right?
And they've been running compaction tests. Let me just say one thing real quick. Now, the compaction test, because they're using that white limestone rock, it looks like it's concrete or slurry being put back in. It's a limestone material. And when it compacts with the proper amount of moisture, it turns to rock. I mean, it really sets them well. It may be a problem for Dave when he has to go in there and fix the leak, and hopefully he never has to, but having that material, we've been getting our compaction tests have been running between 96 and 98% of 100% relative compaction, which is really good. So that's a good thing. But the geotech is there to run tests. Coordinating his work and time is an issue. We got to make sure that We have the trench at different heights. I don't want him here for the whole day, just so you know, I'm trying to manage his time. And you don't want him here sitting around the whole day waiting for tests. So the way we've done it, he'll come out in the afternoon, we'll open up the trench, get a lot done, start backfilling. He'll come in about 1 o'clock or noon while they're backfilling, and he can start running his tests. And so Andy, you're correct. There's $513,000 roughly remaining as of the end of November. I see it slowing down quite a bit here in the next 3 to 4 months.
And do you see any risk at all in the time frame remaining on the project?
Yeah, right now, you know, because of some of the change orders, we put the project right now ending in, January 25th, I think, of 2020.
Mm-hmm.
I don't. And the reason is, that based on the level of work that they've done, when they have a good day, when I did my original budget, Andy, when I put my spreadsheet together, I was looking at about a 14-month project. And I was running about 300 to 400 linear foot a day. On a bad day, these guys are getting about 300. This summer, they're talking about bringing a second crew up. And we talk about the extra projects, that'll be guaranteed. They bring that second crew, there's no reason why they can get 800 to, you know, 900 feet a day. So I think they'll make good time. I'm not too worried. They don't seem to be worried. But I feel, you know, that number may be adjusted a little bit, the 513, if we spend, I think I have some notes in here about just some additional meetings and things that have popped up that we didn't envision. And I'm working on a little amendment possibly with Sharon to deal with that. But if 513 to 560 is probably what we're looking at to complete this thing. But as it looks now, 513 may be a good number. And so those are our costs again. That's the inspection, that's the as-builts, that's the any additional surveying we need to do along the way, easement acquisition. Dave and I had just recently acquiring 3 easements, correct, Dave?
Mm-hmm.
On the service line. We had some conflicts coming off a bank, and it was pretty steep off of Moran, and it looked like the contractor couldn't get his equipment. It'd be pretty tough to get a service line off the bank on Moran down, serving 3 houses on a little frontage road. So we decided to move the line along the frontage road. So we need to get easements because it's a private road from each of those property owners. And they're more than willing to work with us. It's very convenient in terms of where we're putting the meters for them too, so it was a good thing we did it. So there's some easements in here. Along the way, we might have an easement here or there that we may need to move something and acquire an easement. But overall, I just don't see a lot of additional surveying at this point. Just so you know,
no, let me suggest, I'm looking at this authorized budget remaining line, and I don't want to be the only board member commenting about this, but you know, I personally am quite concerned about the fiscal management of the project and how close we're coming to the maximum of the USDA loan when we take in some other things that we have yet to discuss today. So my suggestion is to add an additional line below that, which would be forecast to complete, which would give us, you know, your best estimate as to, you know, is it 513 or is it 560, which you just quoted, because we may need to.
That's a good call, and I did that. So we'll bring that up in the spreadsheet, correct, Sharon, that we put together. I put a placeholder in there of about $60,000 additional. Was it 60 or 55?
It was $55,000. It's not on the spreadsheet the board has, but okay. We have a spreadsheet where we, with the additional projects that we're going to talk about, and in there was, a pending, you know, amendment from MC Engineering for additional work. They went out and helped get the spoils pile, get the permit, everything that we needed to get the project done. There's a bunch of work that MC Engineering has done that was not in the original scope, and that's what that $55,000 is for,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, and that justifies the $55,000. And then as we do the extra work, Andy, we have a little contingency added to the extra work already in the numbers. So there'll be this. It may go up even more than that if we do the extra work, but you're right. To get to the point where we feel comfortable, we're looking at that right now.
Yeah, you know, these are public documents, and you know, the descriptors need to more accurately portray what it is, in fact, you know, John is saying. To be quite honest, I couldn't for the life of me decipher this, the numbers on this page of my life depended on it based on how they're labeled.
Right.
So I think, you know, from a prudent fiscal management posture, you know, we just need to clean these things up and, you know, make sure that we have our eye on, you know, the bouncing ball of the numbers.
This is Tom. Just a couple more corrections to make sure that what everyone's looking at is correct. It shouldn't say October 2018 invoice, that should say November invoice. And under authorized budget remaining, it should say as of December 1st.
That's right. So maybe, John, we can work on providing better descriptions, or is it just you want one last item?
No,
because it's not very clear. I mean, I realize that this is MC only, but it doesn't have the overall picture for the whole project.
No, I know. I understand that. This is MC engineering,
And Andy, we have a spreadsheet. We do a complete, large spreadsheet. I know, Tom, you get copies.
No, I understand that, John. My point is, these documents are public documents.
Gotcha. I hear you.
And I would defy anyone here to be able to explain to our shareholders what this says.
I agree.
The way it's currently outlined.
And I go ahead and make some changes and redo that summary where it reads a little bit better. I will do it for you.
Okay. Thanks, John.
No problem.
Good point.
Mm-hmm.
We assume that you're not looking at the spreadsheet, so and it is a public.
Well, our shareholders aren't looking at the spreadsheet either.
Yeah, I agree. So we'll go ahead and do that. And if you go down the rest of the monthly report, what I do is give an update on the construction, level of construction, when we trips that, for example, that I make. I don't include my inspection trips. One of the inspectors lives up here, so. And then one of my inspectors will come out of Folsom. But as you go down through it, you can see we talk about ongoing change orders, existing change orders, and some pending small change orders we're working on currently. But that's basically the monthly report. And I can go ahead and I'll make the change and kind of clean up. Probably there's too much information on that budget side. I'll go ahead and clean that up for you. But other than that, the project's going good. I don't envision a lot of work in the next 2 months. I will say they'll be there. Dave, we need to coordinate real closely with the construction with Dave and his team. I say his team, we got Carissa and Lee. There's the retrofit meters that need to go in. And those retrofit meters are basically a live situation where you have an existing meter box or service with a meter that needs to be replaced or a new meter put in, we need to notify those customers in advance that we're going to be replacing their meter. So Carissa's ahead of the, trying to stay ahead of the contractor by sending notifications out. What we'll try to do is we put these new meters in on the retrofit, and there may be a few complaints of things happening, but our goal is to notify the homeowner. Let him know we're putting a retrofit meter in. And then we need to go in and at least turn on the faucet once we put the new meter in to clean out debris. So we need to let the homeowner know we put on a drain his line. And then in some cases, the homeowner's not there, we can't get him. We're going to leave a door hanger, right, Carissa? And that door hanger will go on the door to tell the homeowner before he fires his water, go outside, turn his hose bib on, let it flush a little bit, and so he doesn't have debris inside his house. That's not to say we'll get a few situations where there'll be some debris. Is that right, Dave?
What was that? Sorry.
Oh, will you be saying?
No, it's fine.
And Dave, you've had a few complaints already. Just debris when a line breaks and stuff. That's always seems to be a little problem. You get some debris into the house and
they complain on next door. They don't complain to us.
That's not gonna. It's not a common thing. When we work on a box, most people aren't here. They're gone. We have to work on it. We have leaks or something, so we have to turn them off. Most cases, if they're smart, they'll have their water off already. The house will be drained for winter, or if they're not home, I advise every homeowner to shut their water off at the minimum, at their shut off at the house, because something could happen in the house. Washing machine, hose could break or something. You don't want to leave your house and go for away for a couple of days or a week and then come back and have it flooded because you left the water on and something happened in the house.
So Lee, what percent of our shareholders do you think we have email addresses for?
Well, a little less than half.
Still, huh?
Yes, but we're...
We keep asking.
Talk on the phone, give us your email address. The push is heavy on email.
I was going to suggest that in addition to the door hanger, which if we have a gust of wind, they end up in somebody else's yard, that we follow it up with an email.
Okay. Yeah.
That's in the plan, right?
Yeah, a letter, an email, and the door hanger. I've printed off what emails we do have, and then what we don't have will be phone calls and additional letters asking for that.
Okay.
But yeah, unfortunately, as much as we ask for it, it's just not coming in like it should.
I'm not sure. I'm just perplexed why homeowners don't want to give it or choose not to or forget, perhaps. We asked the Homeowners Association if they would share theirs, and they won't.
They can't.
So we have to collect our own database or create our own database, and we've repeatedly asked folks for their email address. And as far as door hangers, I'm not a big fan of those. I mean, there's a quick way to show anybody that there's nobody at the house, and that's the fastest way to do it.
Yeah.
And that presumes that when people drive up here, they go and they park in their garage, they go through the front door, which probably doesn't happen. Right. We only have certain ways to get a hold of people, and we're trying all of them. One of my more favorite next door fans took exception to the color of the water that came out of her faucet. It had a tint to it, and obviously it was poison and awful, and somebody ought to do something, and boy, I'm going to get a hold of the water company.
Same woman who complained about the chemtrails.
Well,
oh God! Yes.
What? The chemtrails?
Yes. Yeah,
oh, the planes.
Yeah,
right?
The planes flying over, contributing to the cancer.
With the crystals. This woman forgot.
One flew over her house.
What she forgot to mention in her posting was we had staff there that explained to her husband everything that was going to occur, including the coloring of the water. And Dave got a hold of her and squared that away.
There was a guy
on next door yesterday that said his empty lot fee tripled.
No.
Yeah, that was tripled. Yesterday.
Really?
I love that it said the chemtrails and the next line of somebody else was, oh boy, this will be good. All the comments can fly.
Yeah, if you get your tin foil or your aluminum foil.
Yeah. Oh, that was great.
System of thought the lot fees have been tripled.
Right, and we found, and I put on there that, you know, please call off, you know, I don't want to talk on that forum about individual person's bill.
Right.
So I put, you know, let's call the, I had Chris put, please call the office. Anyone that has a question on their bill, please call the office.
I saw the banners that say, questions, call the office first. And I thought that meant instead of
putting on next door.
Well, it's more fun to get on next door and then grandstand on something that's not true and have other people line up with you.
That's it.
Well, this area needs is a minor league baseball team. Do something else.
No, it's Bush League.
Well, we already have that. Sorry, John, for the distraction.
And so really that's the report. Andy, just so you know, that format I just gave you and that report you have is a different format. Sharon, if you caught that, there was some additional it came out of the finance end of our company, and those monthly reports had a shorter, more condensed version of the budget, which I'm looking at right now, and I'm going to go back to the one that was done prior, and I'll show it to you, and you know what I'm talking about, Sharon. It's a lot simpler from our standpoint and my standpoint for the public, and I'll go ahead and use that old form. I have it here in front of me, so the last, I think, five reports prior to this last one had a different format. and it was a lot cleaner.
And I think if we could add in here how much pipe is installed every month.
I know we talked
about that. We talked about that yesterday, because that's what I want to know at the end of the month, how much did we install.
Yeah. And it gets a little confusing when you, I'll give the real numbers, again, because we're prorating the stored materials, the footages might be different based on what the contractor says, but I'll put the real numbers in there like we talked about, Chair, and that would include services and hydrants.
Mm-hmm.
And just so you know, we already have 30 double services installed and 3 singles. We have 7 hydrants installed and 4 ARVs. 4 of the hydrants are on Russell. Dave and I were talking about it. We still need to get a final verification from CCWD, but it sounds like the bacteriological test passed, pressure test passed in those hydrants. Our hope is within a week or two we can activate 4 of the hydrants on Russell. So everybody on Russell now will have a hydrant. They should be happy. Some of the biggest complaints that we've gotten from customers was no hydrants on Russell. And so that's a good thing. So somebody may want to notify the homeowner, you now have a hydrant, they can contact their insurance company, but whatever. So that's basically it. I will revise the form, and you go back to the one I was using before, let you look at it, see if it's a lot easier to see. I do apologize for that. There's just a lot of stuff.
Yeah, if you want to just email that to me, I can give you some feedback.
I even have a hard time trying to figure out what's next, so I apologize. Other than that, any questions?
No, just you'll cover that off. The average homeowner here wants to, they know how much the project is. Mm-hmm. They're going to want to know how close we are to that $12.234 million. And that's what Andy's talking about.
Yeah, I do have a form I use for USDA. It's a form 271, and that form basically is the whole project. So I have
two
forms I fill out, and maybe I'll attach that 271. That's a good one to attach. You can see design, planning, construction, and overall end budget that we have at USDA. And I'll go ahead and attach that. I think that's a good one to include. I'll do that.
Any issues with the USDA on the slowdown? The government closure?
No, yeah. I got a call into the state director. He doesn't call me back. There are some employees working, some aren't.
Mm-hmm.
So that is a potential issue in terms of getting progress payments out. As you know, the money is being released through CoBank. CoBank won't release based on the agreements unless USDA says it's okay to release. So we may, and I'll have to talk with Mike about this if it gets to be a real problem. I can't get a USDA staff member to come in there and do a review. Typically, she reviews our progress payments and everything within 2 hours. We give her all the information she needs, lays it out real clean for her. She'll do a review and typically releases the funds, authorized to release the funds within about 2 hours.
Tanya?
Yeah, Tanya. Tanya.
Do you know if she's furloughed or not?
She is.
She is, yeah.
The interesting thing about this is, as reluctant or frustrated we were with having to go through CoBank, it may actually work to our advantage now, because at least the funds are, funds are coming from a private source.
But she has to approve.
But that's the question, is whether we can actually get the approval or not. But that's better than having to try to get money out of the USDA right now. So hopefully we can at least get that staff approval. Otherwise, CoBank won't send the money.
And I was going to ask the director, Mike, and that's why I wanted to talk to you, is that if we can get him to allow us to work with CoBank and allow CoBank to release the money subject to a, we're kind of hanging out a little bit, but I just don't see any issues, knock on wood so far, with USDA in terms of what they're reviewing, what they're approving. She really has no questions. I made a few little format changes for her on some of the forms. Other than that, she goes through the information. We go through it, at least I go through it with a fine-tooth comb. My inspectors review the information. So, that's just something we're going to have to work on.
Otherwise, they can hold the project up.
Yeah.
There was nothing in the agreement in case of a government shutdown, like what to do. Because it's not like they don't happen often. So.
Well, it should save us some interest expense.
Right.
And it could be months or years.
I was projecting, about $60,000 worth of construction work next month. 60, maybe 65, and then
Yeah, but how much did they do in December? Because we haven't gotten their bill for December yet.
Oh, that was
and they didn't do much.
No, it's 68 or something, I think. I don't have it here, but it's
right.
Yeah, so that's why I'm projecting even less the next couple of months, so that's a good thing.
Yeah.
But I think we need to get a hold of the state director. Someone's working part-time, I was told, and I'm trying to call the state engineer, find out what we can do. I mean, we're not the only one. Obviously, right. There's going to be a lot of other agencies wanting to know, you know, what's going on, and that hurts us from the standpoint, I know Tom's on the phone, if we have to hold up doing something, worst case scenario, then that stretches that construction period out, and that stretches the interest out even farther that we're paying on that interim loan. So that's something we're going to have to work out. That's all I can tell you.
You're going to pursue that?
I am pursuing it. I'll probably get with Mike as we move along once I get all the state ready.
Well, I assume we're not the only USDA project in existence. I mean, there have to be others that are facing the same matter.
Yeah. It'd be worth talking to COAG about it too, because I'm sure they have other projects in the same position.
I was thinking of COAG that way. Yeah. Exactly. And then even at some point, you know, we'd get all of our congressmen and let him know the seriousness of the situation, and maybe go with a coalition of other agencies if we have to. And I've done that before in other types of projects. So. But yeah, that is a potential problem. Just want to let you know.
Okay. Any other questions, comments? John, anything else?
No.
Okay. Item next. Long-range planning.
No. He still had the additional projects.
Additional project. Oh, excuse me.
That was the project.
Joe had a question.
My mistake.
Joe had a question.
I have a question, Andy.
Joe?
Does anybody talk to the HOA with regard to the subject?
Anybody talk to whom?
Homeowners Association.
Yeah, I talked to Tony.
Yeah.
Because every once in a while I get this random thing about, you know, projects and kind of negative comments per se. Nothing specific, but kind of just general negative, and it's almost like a PR issue, you know, that we have.
Well, I would offer that they have the PR issue.
Well, yeah, but whatever, I'm talking
about. Not to debate. I was talking to Mike McAtee, and I've been talking to him all along. Ever since we committed the gross felony of dumping the gravel in the wrong place. And we cleaned that up and moved it around, and we got past the RV parking lot idea that wasn't ours and some other junk. And as of yesterday, he hadn't heard anything.
Oh, okay.
And if their homeowners are complaining, we...
So where is that coming from? Is that on constant contact? Is that...
No, verbally.
It's verbal.
Yeah. Just, you know, you see somebody, you know, socially somehow,
okay,
and they mention something about, you know, the project or the water company or whatever. I don't know where they get this. It doesn't seem to be specific to anything other than the pile of stuff that we're, you know, they're depositing. I'm just curious as to what we talk to them when you say you do.
I think the way they wrote it up in the lodge log was not particularly kind to the water company.
Yeah.
You know, it was not written up nicely. It made it sound like we had, like Bob said, we had done this gross, negligent act.
But they said that after their criticism, they were complimentary. And this is the last edition of their lodge log. I don't know if people read that.
My information may be a little bit old, but I just thought of me.
I've made it a point to talk to him about everything we're doing and if there's any hiccups and try and manage this thing by the theory of no surprises.
They're welcome to come to these meetings.
You bet.
Don't you have Tony involved in your project meetings?
We don't have him come here. But because he probably wouldn't want to anyway, but I talk to Tony whenever we get a new schedule of work. I talk to him, tell him where the crew's going to be, tell him if any roads are going to be closed. He knows as much as I know, and lately the schedule's been changing because of the various factors. But I would go to Tony, I'd say, here's the plan. They're going to plan to have Russell Drive closed to through traffic from this date to this date. This is the plan. And Tony says, okay, I'll put it out. He supposedly puts it out on his email blast. And so I'm trying to, you know, as much as I can, tell them what we're doing. And sometimes it changes. They're supposed to come in on the 2nd. That changed. and then they're now they're supposed to come in on Monday and start the retros. And that's what I told Tony. So, I mean,
so you're saying they're informed. So
I'm informing them. Anything I know he about scheduling and work, then I tell him.
Hey, David, you know, even if I put him on the agenda and send an email to him, invite him to the weeklies if he wants. And that
if
way,
he wants, he yeah. can, sure, he can sit in on that. I, you know, he's got a lot going on his end of it.
Even with the information flow that's back and forth, we get things like my empty lot fee tripled over last year. Now, that was on next door day before yesterday. It actually went up $12 a year.
He was confused.
Now, you know,
well, we know what happened because he did call the office finally.
He did.
And what it was is he just bought the home 2 years ago. All he had to pay 2 years ago was $150 transfer fee. So when he saw that $500 fee, he thought, wow, it went way up. But he was actually lucky because he didn't have to pay that fee.
He did have to pay.
He did it this year.
It came out of escrow. Which is one of the
so, but see
which
that,
is why they should call first.
All that could have been straightened out if he would have just called the office rather than putting it on next door like, wow, my fees are way high.
I'm sure he went back and corrected that on the
I'm sure.
He did. I think he did go back and say, I called the office and everything straightened out.
That's nice.
Thanks.
Yeah, he did.
They usually just blow it off.
Well, yeah. Like I say, they need a baseball team up here. But Joe, we're trying as best we can to.
Okay, it's fine. I'm just curious because I.
Yeah, it's to the naysayers. You know, they can give us a call if they like. I mean, I saw one of the naysayers yesterday, and he was just thrilled. He's got a fire hydrant in his front yard.
There you go. So he's just putting the hydrant in.
Yeah. Well.
You know, I went to. I've been to one homeowners meeting, and I sat and listened. They didn't know I was on the board here for this organization. And they, two people, sat there and slammed the water company. And I was just stunned that they would do that. And
I'm sorry, I missed that.
They were not nice about the water company at all.
Well, tell them to think about us when they brush their teeth.
Right, right. I sat there and listened to it and was just amazed that that's how, that was what their view was.
Well, I don't like their basketball program either.
Right, I don't either, so.
For Christ's sake.
They're.
Were they board members or were they public?
One was a board. I don't want to say who the other was. So.
Like I said, they need a baseball team.
They do.
Something else to do.
I think so.
Just
do the projects.
Did we get over the additional projects?
No,
we need to do them.
Do that. John?
You want me to talk about it?
I can start, I guess.
Okay. Yeah.
So the what you have in front of you is there is more recent than what's in the file you received. So there's a number of projects that were identified. Some of them were identified before the years ago in the Water Master Plan. But when we worked on the design for the USDA loan, we focused on what we thought we could get funded by the USDA loan. So there are a number of projects that were not included. Some are critical. They've been broken up into two phases. One is phase one, which are critical projects. And the second phase is important projects. They'd be really great to do. So the critical projects are, there's a pipeline that needs to be replaced from the treatment plant to Del Rio, and it's a pretty long line. And that is probably the most critical and the most expensive of all the projects on this list. There's some other things that need to be done in Unit 13 for fire flow. That's the new gate valves and removing regulators.
How many valves are you talking about?
There's 10 new gate valves. It's on item B4.
Oh.
So what we did was we have a description, we have a rationale, and like why we really need this. And then the notes indicate if they were in the PER, which was a preliminary engineering report that was done 2 years ago by MC Engineering, and if they need a sketch. So some of these, all they need to do, on the top part, they need a design for the most part, or just a sketch or something. The bottom ones, I don't think they need a, they just need more of a directive to, for if we were to have Mazingo go out and do this work.
And Sharon, let me just add real quickly, we have to keep USDA on board just because we have quite a bit of money on the table because the bids came in low. I've been in communication with USDA. They used to have a limit on change orders of 10%, period. This will take us over 10. So I've had to get a verbal from the state engineer who said no problem. So part of what we're doing, and I think I brought this up at the last meeting, is that we need to get a final concurrence from them once we get all the projects formally listed and agreed to. And then they'll give us something writing that, yeah, you can move ahead with change orders for this project. So we are in very close communications with USDA. It's really critical that they will allow us to add these projects. And to date, they've given us a verbal okay. And I've been discussing this with them since June, so July. So with that change,
so
that's what we talk about. Some of us have, we have to go back and modify the PER, which is the engineer's report that we did. So there'll be some modifications to that.
So just so you know, when we started the whole PER project to get the loan, when we went back to the Water Master Plan, it was about $14 million to do the main lines and some of this other work. And we were concerned that we would never get that much money from the USDA. So the USDA loan is, what, $12.226 million, of which MC Engineering has about $1.8 million of it. When we went out to bid in May or April, the bids came back at $7.9 million, and we thought they were going to come in around $9.5 million. So they came in $1.5 million lower than the engineer's estimate.
Yeah.
So it left room for us to add additional projects if USDA would allow us to, and if the board would allow the water company to do these projects and make the whole system more complete. We went with, for the design of this overall project, we went with moving the main lines from the backyard to into the street so they're easier to access by our workers. And the main lines are 50 years old, so we didn't have fire flow that we need to protect our community. So we focused on the main lines, moving them from the backyard to the street, and putting meters in. So that's the emphasis of the whole USDA project. These other projects would be the first phase are pretty critical because we're actually not, like if you looked at items B4 and B6, they're under the phase one. They're in unit 13. We're not doing anything to the main lines there, right? We're just...
We're replacing hydrants,
and we would like to put in some gate valves so we could close off certain parts of the lines when we need to. Right now, we can't close off certain parts of it, right?
Yeah, we'll end up shutting down most of them.
You have to shut down the whole unit.
And start replacing hydrants, which could take... The middle of summer could be pretty bad.
So
we think doing the 13 new valves in 50 locations would help.
So that's an example of what we need to, of one of the projects.
So let me just interject. A couple of us are on the long-range planning committee, so we've gone through this and we understand some of our numbers. But so for the rest of the board, let me suggest that you turn to page 22 of the deck, because there Tom and the long-range planning committee have summarized the financial picture for us.
Okay, so after Tom did this, I have a confession to make. Tom submitted this package, and then this week, he submitted it on Monday, we reorganized some of these. So the numbers totally add up, but phase one, instead of being, what is it, 800,000, what is it, page 22, you said?
Yeah. Page 22 aggregates the...
That's everything,
yeah,
right?
At 900,000.
So it's still about 900,000. It came to 895 for all the projects, for phase one and phase two. The phase one critical projects are 535,000, which the majority is A1, which is the pipe replacement at the treatment plant up to Del Rio. Phase two came out to about $360,000. You know, and the idea is we have a contractor on board. If you looked at phase two, we would have to hire a contractor to go out and do this work. And so since we have a contractor here, you know, it's more straightforward to give them a directive and modify the contract. So,
and what, can I say something, Sharon?
Please
what,
do.
What you committee asked me to do was to get with the contractor. And Andy, I think you brought that up initially and get some information. So Dave and I sat down with Jeff Graham and Mazenko, and we went over the list, and we gave little descriptions and maps and sketches as best we could of what needs to be done. I got a phone call from Jeff. I told him I needed the information for this meeting as of Wednesday, and Jeff went over my numbers and basically said we're plus or minus 5%. And one of the points to make this thing worthwhile is the unit price that we're going to negotiate with, or the linear foot price we're going to use for these new projects. If it's a pipeline, we want them to use their bid price. It's a change order. There'll be a markup, and typically a markup's 15%. And any other additional costs that may go into it. The bids for this project, for example, on a 6-inch pipeline came in at $50 a linear foot. My engineer's estimate was 75 to 80. And that's looking at numbers throughout this whole region. Our second low bidder on this project was at $80 a linear foot, roughly. So in essence, I have a phone that likes to act, excuse me. So the low bidder was at 80, which gives you an idea that there's a lot of money on the table with this contractor. That is a good unit price number, a linear foot price number, at $50 a foot. So if he stays close to that number and then we negotiate change orders, it's a very cost-effective way of doing this. You have no mob costs, mobilization costs included. There won't be any mobs. There's probably some insurance you'll have to add. He may have to modify the SWIPs, maybe not. So you throw all that in, there's definitely a savings when you look at the first phase projects of about $150,000 to $200,000 minimum if you had to go out to get it in. So my point is using the contractor now and being able to negotiate with him a good change order value. So his numbers to me, he told me my numbers were fairly close because I was basing some of these changes on $60 a linear foot. And basically trying to follow the unit prices as they were, and he seemed to concur with me, Andy, verbally, that he thinks he can do it for that. Now, he believes he can, and he said he'd ramp up. One of the other issues, and I know Tom's on the phone, is that, and Tom probably alluded to this, I don't know if we want to talk about it now, but we're carrying interest as we construct this project, and we're receiving loan money from CoBank. We have this interest that's being accumulated. And it gets pretty expensive. I know Tom, the number was $40,000, $45,000. At the end of the project, if you carry that project beyond your date of getting money from USDA, it could be about $40,000, $45,000 a month of interest you're carrying at the end of the project once you've taken all the loan money. So what you want to do is get the contractor to try to do this in a very narrow window, these changes, so we're not carrying that interest, interim interest out. He believes he can get all the work done before May, is what he told me on the phone.
Of 2020.
And we're looking at, right now, around January 2020, maybe we'll have some additional days for some changes. So May looks like a pretty good number. He said he'd add extra crews onto this project and make sure we get it all done. We can next year. So it really pencils. It really does as something that is cost effective to the company, in my opinion.
So my big concern, John, and other board members, is that we're basically 4 months into the project, and we already have change orders either approved or requested that are in excess of 10% of the original project, which is a huge number given the amount of time that we still have left. There's a lot of unknowns that, you know, we haven't yet to uncover. You know, I don't know where my comment goes other than I think the board needs to be acutely aware that we're, you see the numbers here. You know, we're at 11.996 if we approve all of this stuff against the, 12.226 number, which only gives us $230,000, a quarter of $1 million of hedge for the next 16 months. And that's what's left in the project, is 16 months.
Right.
So, you know, I think a strong dose of hardcore fiscal management is required at this time, so it doesn't get out of control.
So one thing John and Dave and I discussed yesterday, and this is up for the board, obviously, to decide based on our fiscal management, is one thing we could consider doing is moving forward with phase one and seeing where we are after those are done, the design's done, and the construction. And phase two, you know, if we think we have the money later, we can add them. Because those are all pretty short projects. They're pretty small. Not small, but they're just smaller in price and value. So it's just something to consider. And also just...
So because that number is what, 535?
535. Also, I want to reiterate, because it's not obvious, that the 895,000 or 900,000 for all the for this additional projects, that includes Mazingo's and MC Engineering's portion of the work.
Yeah,
it's the design, construction services, and construction.
Design, yeah.
So hopefully there wouldn't be anything additional. So it's just something, I mean, I don't think we're going to make a decision now. I think we want to go through Tom's presentation, right, to determine what we want to do. You know, I don't know if anybody has, you know, on the phase two, there were things, there were parts of the project that, parts of the development that we didn't put, we never moved the main lines to the front yards, like on Borough Court and Del Rio. Sometimes we need new sample stations out the development now that we've redone our development, our pipelines.
Some of these grow out of the fact that we're into a project and we've discovered things either we should have done before or that we didn't know about. We've discovered them because of what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is that fair to say?
Yes.
And they're prioritized into two phases and they're both considered critical. We ought to do those that are absolutely critical if we can afford it.
Right.
Now. And but what Andy's point is that we don't want to blow all the money, and that's my term, not his.
Mm-hmm.
To where
I would use the same words.
That's a good. I like
well,
that
6 months from now, we haven't. You know, we're into our. We should stay out of our own cash. I mean, that's our goal. And if it means reprioritizing some of those, then I would suggest to do that. And we're going to have to rely on the profit of your best thinking for that, John.
Right, and just, you know, what we've done, and again, I getting a formal, talking about a change order is one thing, getting that formal number, sitting down, negotiating the contract is a whole other thing. But, you know, based on my first communications with them, they're definitely going to work with us. They would like to do the work, they're already here, they believe they can save us money, they can make a little money on it, it's kind of a win-win. That's very important. But I also, in that spreadsheet, which you don't have, we have another spreadsheet, is that I put in, and you just, you know, additional change orders. They have nothing to do with this. Okay, assuming we have, so I put another 3% in there of coming across water lines that aren't there. We did quite a few of those, or a thrust block from an old pipe that's in the way, a big concrete structure, which we hit a couple of those. It's things that you don't know are in the ground. So I did
but
add another 3%.
But that's in here. That's in Tom's presentation.
Oh, that
the 239,000.
Yeah,
so it's considered.
It's considered in there.
Yeah.
So we try to take that into consideration too.
Okay.
Can I ask?
But the point still remains the same.
Yeah.
Right.
Is that we're running through the extra dollars pretty quick here.
Exactly. That's true.
Well, the extra dollars have a purpose to serve. We agree with that. But there won't be any extra dollars if we spend everything in the first couple of months. That's your point.
Well, yeah, there's 16 months to go, and yeah. You know, while that 3% is all well and good, mm-hmm. You know, there are a lot of unknowns still.
Right.
And I don't see us even starting this work, to be honest with you, especially the first five projects until we get design. There'll be some easement acquisitions on that pipeline, Dave, that goes up to tank four that runs around the back of lots. I just walked it yesterday, and it's a mess. I don't know how they even get equipment out there to fix that line. It's a whole other story. But, you know, you start looking at it, there'll need to be some easements. I just don't think see the work starting probably until midsummer, would be my guess, on some of these, or even later. So we have a little time to give the numbers, to sit back, see how the rest of the project's going, before, you know, we say, you go ahead
go
and
for
do the change orders and sign that document, you know. So I think we have a little time. But
okay.
Yeah. Well, this is Tom. I just have a couple comments or questions. This question is for you, John. As far as all these projects go, can we go to USDA multiple times, or do we have to take this all to them in one change order?
No, it doesn't have to be one change order. For example, it could be four or five change orders, Tom, as we go through, like I'm doing now. I'll typically group a group of small projects and call them directives, and then I add them in as one change order. So your answer is, yeah, we can do multiple change orders. Doesn't have to be one change order. Just not.
Okay, so what I would think would be very helpful is to know on each one of these line items, and, you know, what month would it be, would be our best estimate of when it would be planned for, so we could see on a timeline from now to the end of the contract exactly when these would fit in and when the dollars would be needed. And that would also help us make decisions from now going forward as to which ones of these we figure are critical enough to go forward with and you know, plan there.
And that makes sense. And I tried to get some timing out of the contractor. He hadn't got to that point yet. But I would want to sit down with Jeff Graham at Mazingo, their head estimator, and go over the scheduling, at least of the first five projects, Tom, and then look at the others and see where he would be able to fit them in at. And, you know, I would have to go on his word at this point without having a written change order request or directive request. But I think we can do that. It would take another meeting and me sitting down with Jeff and me and Dave and Jeff sitting down and going over these projects one more time.
Yeah, I think that would give us a lot better idea of how we approach this and you know, when we would need to decide on each of these items and use that in our planning.
You bet. And just so you know, Tom, he did tell me that he believes he can get the work done before May. He says he'll throw extra crews, which is a good thing. That's a real plus.
May of 2020.
Yeah, May of 2020. We were concerned that, remember, at one point I was telling you maybe August of 2020 when you really look at these projects. If it was other contractors, they may push it out. But he is willing to put more crews to get this thing done. The sooner the better, because he knows time's money for us with that interest running. So that was a good word from him.
But again, that's also based on having a lighter winter next year. You know, if we get a ton of snow, they won't be able to do some of these projects. So
yeah. Well, he's talking about loading up this summer.
In the summer, that would be great.
Yeah.
So
to get something right here, that'd be tough, but I could do my best to get his word. And they've been pretty good so far in terms of giving me information and being pretty honest about it.
I want to move this along. We're going to reprioritize, correct?
Right. We're going to look at the month that we would need the funding.
Right.
Right.
And
we'll
get a better sense. Once that's done, we get a better sense in the contract when the work can be done.
Right.
Okay. And we have that done by the next?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Any else on additional project?
Can I come back up?
Yeah, Joe.
In talking to Billy, when he's talking to you, when we had a meeting, he talked about non-critical projects that come up. He was going to talk with him. He was going to keep a separate list of stuff that would not go into this project, but they were not critical as such, so that wouldn't be necessarily confusing this project with it.
Got it. Anything, any other questions or comments for John Petrie? John, thank you for your report. We're going to take a 5-minute break. Tom, sorry, 5 minutes. Too much talk of water.
Here's a little bit of the belt and suspenders.
This is where the storm is.
Where is it?
Just this side of Sacramento.
Oh.
My phone just told me wintry mix and start at 1:45.
Right.
1:45.
1:45, exactly.
10 seconds.
There's no internet connection, it says.
Well, I wish they were tired.
Okay, Tom?
Yes.
Good morning, you're up.
Let me just...
you're almost up, excuse me.
One more point on the dead horse that I'm beating up on here. And that is a message for both John and Dave, and that is, I guess an appeal that, the two of you with your respective organizations look long and hard at what are the other risks that haven't been identified yet? And maybe what I just said isn't doable, but I think the board really needs to have an understanding of how do we manage this budget going forward, knowing that there might be other liabilities that could come into play much like this. This is a huge number that's could have been fleshed out earlier on, I think. But anyway, I just want to avoid it. The train leaving the tracks.
That's the old Don Rumsfeld, what are the unknown unknowns?
Yeah,
there you go.
Exactly. Well, I think we would agree that some of the issues that have been portrayed on this document are things we didn't know about and reasonably couldn't have known because something has developed during the project. We understand that. But what is before us is to reprioritize the priorities. And I think it goes without saying that that'll be handled with the cap that we have to work under. I think we'd all agree that that we want to complete this project, take care of any surprises that come up, and still have a few dollars left on the loan. And we'll just leave it at that. I think the message is pretty clear. We don't want to go under our savings account because we didn't remember to do something originally that should have been in the original bidding. If there's something that's in these listings that we should have picked up in the original billing, well, shame on us. If there are items that come up during the, as we're out there digging holes and trenching that we didn't know about, well, there's money in there to address it.
Isn't there a certain amount of contingency that
yes.
the contractor has built into his proposal? I mean, an underground contractor knows that there's underground things that you don't know about until you get there. So, isn't there... I have a little bit of an issue with the contractor and how far they were underneath the engineer's estimate to begin with. And when I hear that a contractor is going to put pipe in for $50 a foot that everybody else needs $80 a foot for, I worry about that. There's too much left on the table, and how does the contractor make up for that? And there was a picture that I used to have in my office of a 100-foot yacht, and the name of the yacht was Change Order, and the 30-foot ski boat behind it was called Contract. So, as this stuff comes up, how do we?
Well, some we say we don't know, and the rest we let the cap of the loan govern what we do. I think that what we're faced with is when there are some critical, that's the term that's used, critical changes that have to be made, reprioritize what critical means, and eliminate those that we can live with.
And your point, Tegan, typically when you design a project or construct a project, you look at between state does and USDA also looks at it this way, between 3 to 5% change order. Anything over 5, you're really outside, I think, of the limit. So you always kind of look at that. So we always had money built into this to have between 3 and 5% change orders. Now, for example, there's no mapping within the system, so there's pipes that we all know are there. Dave has Billy doing the best he can to locate the services off the meter box. You got to be within 2 feet either way on the USA locate, or if we hit it, then the spec is clear that it may be a delay to the contractor not knowing it was located correctly. So those kind of things we try to take into consideration. Yes. Typically between 3 and 5% is the change order range on good size big projects. And you try to limit that. I've had them where they've been percent and a half, 2%, wastewater plants and water plants. But this one, because of all the unknowns in the theater. And the only thing I'm concerned about, if we hit a bunch of stumps, for example, that we didn't know were in the fill area, and they had stumps in the under the road, you're digging, and now you can't get through the stumps. I don't know if any, I don't know, Dave and I have talked about, walked every inch of this.
We did, Russell Drive, Linda Drive, and that part of Moran there was really we anticipated to be a difficult part.
Yep.
One of the most difficult parts of the whole thing. And as we move out into the rest of the project, mm-hmm. we anticipate it to be much easier and less unknowns there. Now, there could be rock. You know, we had a geotech come out and do samples around trying to locate any rock areas. We tried to look ahead to see what is there. But you don't know. But I think I'm confident with John and Mazingo, the company, that we can handle it and we'll be okay with it, because the way we work together with them, I think we'll be, unless we run into like John said, something that's totally unknown.
Yeah.
So John, just to your 3 to 5% contingency comment, we're already through that 5% with what's already been approved. We're already through that.
No.
Well, if I look at the numbers here, remaining change orders 3% at $239,000. Approved change orders of $71,000 already.
Well, the remaining is the 3% that we haven't done anything with. We haven't touched it.
Oh.
That's like the placeholder for 3%.
I'm just putting a contingency there, Andy, on that one. I'm
okay.
Sorry. It looked like, that's strictly a contingency.
No, good.
Yeah, that was... It scared me a little when you said that. But yeah, that's what that...
Well, this is what is in Tom's presentation. He has the $239,000... And it's the placeholder for, right now we have approved change orders of $71,000, and we have the remaining contingency, 3% of $239,000. So we haven't touched it.
Okay.
But it's a good point. So I guess we have $310,000 for them or so.
We good?
These changes are not contractor changes. These are us.
Right.
Correct.
Yeah, there have been some that were us and not the contractor. Contractor has them, and in my change order, I explain if it was a contractor-driven change order or something that we requested to improve the project, as we see what we can. I think we're in line with the existing project to be within that 3 to 5. I don't think there's a problem there.
You can see that the board is concerned with, as it should be, rightfully should be. As we were sneaking up on what's proposed, although it hadn't been spent yet, we're sneaking up on the cap of the loan. And the danger in that is that we're too early in the project. You like to think we shouldn't be doing that, and we're not. And I think we all have a better sense of what's going on, and that's why we meet. Any other comments or questions for John Federer? Well, thank you all for bringing up the matters that you did. Tom, at long last, you're on.
Okay. So the topics that I plan on walking today, some of it we've already spoke about. I won't spend too much time on those other than some points that I'll bring up that I think need to be made clear. We're going to talk about that the additional scope request that was discussed earlier, the USDA budget and reimbursement review, how that affects our financials and reserves, the updated status on the asset management plan that engineering is working on for us, the updated or final recommendation for the reserves policy and reserves operating procedure, and some discussion, again, that hasn't been addressed in a while on the shareholder service line replacement cost. So next page, which is, I guess, page
20.
The additional scope projects that we've been discussing the last four. All I'll mention there is that based on the drawdown schedule, these added scope tasks would be inserted into the construction project beginning in May of next year. John's now saying probably around midsummer. So somewhere between May and midsummer. And based on our last meeting, we were projecting that the contract as it ends today might conclude around March, and that these additional projects might extend it out 3 months to June of 2020. So based on all that and, you know, looking at the drawdown schedule, how that affects our interim loan interest, I laid all that out there in the backup charts of this package. But so the total estimated cost of all the projects, if we were to move forward with all of them, as mentioned earlier, was about $900,000. And the impact on our interest, though we did all those projects and it did extend our schedule out by 3 months, was about $147,000 of extra interest. So the total is a little over $1 million. There's risks, as we've talked about. What are the future new scope items that may arise? Schedule extending beyond the 3 months estimated. As John Pedry mentioned earlier, I'm estimating that at around $45K per month because that's at the end of the contract. So that will be discussed a little more later. Page, just summarized by going through the spreadsheet that we have for the interim loan interest. Originally, the engineering estimate prior to the construction bids and the award for a certain dollar value. We planned on MC Engineering and Blue Lake Springs reimbursements to start of, which was planned then, be June 2018. So the estimated loan drawdown period would have been June 2018 to December 2019. And that shows you by year what the interest would be, totaling about $458,000. Based on, in item B there, based on Bazingo's contract value in the incurred 2018 change orders plus the 3%, which was, I think, $239K that you talked about a minute ago, that's an estimate that John came up with, 3% for future estimated change orders. And the large upfront inline pipe that John also mentioned earlier. And holding off requesting reimbursement for MC Engineering and Blue Lake Springs reimbursements January 2020 and March 2020, by pushing all those reimbursements out and the lesser contract value of Mazingo, as you can see there, that brought our estimated interest from the 458K down to 336K, a drop of about 122K.
So let me interject here, Tom. This was a topic that the Long Range Planning Committee spent a lot of time on once we realized how close to the the $12.226 million USDA loan amount we were getting. And we started looking at ways where we might be able to defer some drawdown from CoBank. And as you can see, by deferring, reimbursement of the MC engineering and other reimbursements, we save $120,000 in potential interest. Now, having said that, that's before what you see in the next line item C, where I don't want to take your thunder, Tom, but if we plug in the 900K from this sheet, then the interest costs go way back up again.
Right. Yeah. So in item C there, it's all based on the same assumptions as D, but it includes the 900K of change orders starting in May of this year, and pushes the end of the drawdown period out 3 months to June 20. Sounds like from John's comments a little while ago that maybe the June 2020 is conservative, and they can possibly get it done sooner than that. So this may be worst case, but gives us a pretty good idea of how much the interest does go up based on adding in all these change orders. And this was all based on, note at the bottom, the latest CoBank interest rates that they provided at the end of October. So it's pretty current as far as the rates go. So on the next page, we've already kind of gotten into the little bit of discussion on this chart. Our last long-range planning committee meeting, we talked about how we should really get down on a page like this, the allocation and, details on all the cost breakdown so that we know, how good or bad of a position we're in based on everything we know at this point. So the allocations, the $12.226 million we've talked about, estimated cost, the engineering John showed earlier, their total contract is $1.784 million. We've got the Mazingo contract cost there. Approved change orders so far of the $71,000, and then the, as I mentioned, the 3% of estimated remaining change orders, that those haven't been requested by Mazingo. They're just an estimate that we put in as a filler there. So that would bring the total for construction up to and construction and engineering up 8.288. So, and we've got Blue Lake Springs cost, reimbursements to claim. So going way back to 2016 and 17, we purchased meters in October of this last year. We purchased more meters and transmitters. Then we, I've had a few conversations with Dave and emails that he's provided me details. So we look at 2019 to purchase the remaining meters and transmitters, and in 2019 and 2020 to purchase the PRV regulators. So you can see all the costs there, along with legal and assistant project manager support. So the estimates there are about $541,000. Interim loan, as you saw on the previous page, without the additional change orders, is about $336K. That brings it up to 10.949, which is about 1.3 under our USD allocation. If you add in the new change orders, you see there the $1,047,000 with the added interest brings it up to just around $230K under our allocation. Based on information Sharon provided to me, I know that they mentioned earlier the 55K of additional work that is being projected by MC Engineering, so that would even reduce that down further. The risks we talked about during our long-range committee meeting, weather schedule delays, as we see in these charts, that can increase our interest expense very quickly. We talked about project management focus, and Philly is so critical with his knowledge that he provides. Having him available enough to support this contract work is, we feel, is very important. And future MC change orders, this was before I knew about the 55K, but any further change orders that aren't accounted for here, you know, like Annie was talking about, the unknowns, that's always a risk. Any questions on this page?
So, Tom, just to be clear, that 230,000 under allocation number on the prior page is, in fact, now, when you factor in the 55,000 additional for MC Engineering, is 175,000?
Yeah, I think Sharon estimated around 178 in the document she provided me. So, yeah, right around in that range. Go to the next page. Budget disbursements and the effects on financials. The committee talked about this at our last meeting. We reassessed the eligible reimbursement costs and the impacts on interim loan interest. The consensus was to recommend continuing to hold off on requesting reimbursement for MC Engineering and Blue Lake Springs internal costs as long as possible to reduce our interim loan interest. And based on the latest drawdown schedule that John provided to me, which is shown as my version of it, I put into a spreadsheet in the backup details. The current estimates and with that drawdown schedule indicate that it is possible to do what we recommended up there. We can, I believe, make it through 2019 without claiming reimbursement for any MC Engineering or Blue Lake Springs. However, there is a risk to this approach, and Lee Schmeeds and I have talked about this a little bit. If you look at our budget and how much we have in the bank at the end of 2018, I think that our bank balances at year end are going to be minimal. However, the company is still solvent. As we know, we have reserves being held with the USDA that are eligible for reimbursement that we can go to them at any time and request those reimbursements.
So, to be clear, Tom, you know, taking into consideration these deferred possible reimbursements, we're solvent through the end of this year?
Yeah, so as of the end of 2018, I estimate that we have about $1.4 million of reimbursements that we're eligible for.
Right.
So, and then I'll talk a little bit more about what it looks like at the end of 2019. So, if needed, we have the option to mitigate this risk that I just spoke of later in 2019 by claiming some portion of the USDA reimbursement. So if you go to the next page, USDA reimbursement claim, I tried just showing the reimbursable costs, and based on deferring the MC Engineering and Blue Lake Springs costs until January of 2020, what it looks like. So this first page does not include the interest loan, interim loan interest. So you can see there the MC Engineering reimbursable costs. And to the right, you see we've only request reimbursement of about $128K, which we did in November of 2018. The rest of them, I'm deferring to January 2020. Down under Blue Lake Springs reimbursable costs, you can see the radio read meters that we started purchasing in 2016 and 2017. And we go down to the purchase in October 2018, and the rest of the items there that that some of that information I got recently from Dave. So some of the purchases that we're going to be making in 2019 and the PRVs, you know, a couple purchases in one in January, then one in June, and then the remaining in January 2020. So deferring all those costs out to January 2020 without any of the interest included, you have about 1.4 of unclaimed reimbursements through 2018, and it's going to be, without the interest, it's going to be around $2 million of unclaimed by the end of this year. Go to the next page. Now this does include the interest, and you can see there that instead of the 1.4 and 2.0 of unclaimed, if you add in the interest, and it depends, when you get into 2019 and 2020, the reason I have two interest numbers there is one is based on no additional change orders. The other one's with the full additional change orders that we've presented today. So as of 2020, the total eligible reimbursements that we will be, we can claim, if we claim them all, is going to be in the 2.5 to 2.7 range. Any questions on that?
Questions of the board? Go ahead, John.
Okay, moving to the next page. I took a look at 2019 budget that was, you know, prepared a month or two ago, and just kind of looked at it, and based on more current information that we've received over the last month or two. So a couple items in there that I just wanted to briefly bring up. Under distribution operation and maintenance, it's showing $85K, and you can see there are mainline parts and regulators. That should be budgeted under USDA reimbursable, I believe. 2019 budget, the co-bank interest for USDA in the budget was showing $250. As you saw on the estimates, it's really at about $336K without the change orders and about $484K with the change orders. So, and then the next item, the reimbursements deferred showing in the 2019 budget was at $806, of which $410 was for MC Engineering and $396 for Blue Lake Springs. So as you can see there, based on the latest information, I believe the estimate for 2019 should be about $419 for MC Engineering and $192 for Blue Lake Springs, which comes to $611. So based on all that above, I think our expenses in 2019 are a little better than the 2019 budget page was showing. So by the tune of about $194K if without the change orders and about $46K to the better with the change orders. So I think that's where I came up with the statement that I think we can make it through 2019 without requesting reimbursements, but I think that our bank account balances are going to get very low. And so, as I mentioned, the thing that I recommend is that on a month-to-month basis, as we go through 2019, we continue to look at our budget and our bank account balances and make a decision if we feel that we need to request reimbursement for any of the MC Engineering or Blue Lake Springs costs.
What's the turnaround time on from the time we request reimbursement to the time we actually get it?
Well, I'm going to say a week with us because they're going back through. She's got to go through like a year or a larger portion than the submittal from the contractors currently. So I'm going to say a week to 10 days.
Which is important to, I was going to just bring that up because it's important to consider in when you're looking at the risk and the risk mitigation. The turnaround is pretty quick, and there's no real risk of being denied.
No.
So in some ways, and you guys may have already looked at this, you might, because when Tom, I think when you're referring to bank account balances, you're talking about current operating accounts, not reserve accounts.
I
mean, it might be worth considering using reserves to defer even more of these payments and save interest as long as you can until cash flow is needed.
Right.
Yeah, that's why it's best. You know, I know a lot of our revenue comes in the first couple months of the year, but once we get beyond that, I think it's going to take just really studying it every month and seeing how the cash flow is looking.
And we don't have to request the full amount of the potential reimbursement. We can decide how much.
Yes.
So we can really manage tightly to that, you know, line of solvency or unsolvency, you know, if we have to.
Yep. Any other questions on that page?
Questions?
Okay, so move to the next topic, which is the management that MC Engineering has been working for us. So we held a meeting with MC Engineering, John, and I think you were there, John, and Mark Carey,
yeah.
To review the progress of the asset inventory database that they had been working on. It previously authorized them $5,000 to work on that asset inventory database, initially focusing on the mainline pipes. During that meeting, we talked about moving forward with loading all the remaining assets into a GIS model and utilizing the data to develop a more comprehensive database tool. During that discussion, MC estimated around 40 hours above the 5K to complete this task. As you can see in the next bullet, this is a very critical first task that we feel that we need to get through to see where we go on this asset management plan once this inventory database is completed. The information will provide life expectancy, estimated replacement cost of each asset, and this will all be utilized to determine the annual amount that will be required in our capital asset reserve. So I show there how their updated proposal was broken out. You can see there task three, the GIS database development, was a large new item that was included. And the bottom line was, as compared to their initial proposal of 44K, what they've done is based on this updated proposal and shifting some of the other areas that we felt didn't require as much attention as they had initially provided, the bottom line budget came out to pretty much the same
dollar value at about $45K. That $45K is already included in the 2019 budget. At the December 8th, I'm sorry, our December 8th long-range planning committee meeting, Don was there, and we authorized completion of tasks 2 and 3 above with additional project management support for not to exceed of $20K. So once we get to that point where we see that product, what we'll do is we'll get together and have another progress meeting to review those products and the scope and the remaining tasks. We'll discuss that and decide how we want to proceed going forward. What we really want the draft asset management plan and the final asset management plan to look like include. We want to make sure that getting the best bang for our buck. We don't want to include a bunch of detail that's just going to, that will never be looked at or utilized. So we want to make sure that asset management plan is going to be a useful document that will be a working document that can really provide good value to us moving forward. So is John there?
Yes.
John, do you have any idea how they're doing on that updated database?
Yeah, I have a meeting with, they've done quite a bit. I have a meeting with Richard, one of our staff members, the mapper, and then another team player on Monday. And I'm going to go over and get kind of an update on what we've done today and what needs to be done. And what I'll do is write a little report, give it to you and Sharon and Dave once I have a meeting to sit down with them, see where we are, and kind of give you an update.
Okay.
And would you let us know when you think you're going to have a progress meeting with us?
Yeah. Okay. We'll set up a time in advance. You bet.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, thanks. So the next section, after our, let me think here. Yes, it was our November. October, November, we reviewed the versions of the reserves policy and the reserves operating procedure with the board. And since then, we've had a few comments come up by the long-range planning committee members on some final revisions that they were recommending. So what I've done on the next couple pages is I've shown these revisions based on the recommendations that were made. So I'll quickly go through those. In the reserves policy, recommended by Andy, were most of all the sections for each of the reserve categories, you know, we had a certain approval process. In the emergency reserve, we had a more, I don't know the right term is, more lenient. Dave had more approval that one, just because of the category, the emergency reserve. So Andy recommended that we give Dave the authority, but that we should probably have a cap on it, and an approval loop over a certain level, perhaps around $10K. So you can see there the paragraph in the reserves policy that talks fund the approval process. So you can see there that the general manager is authorized to approve the expenditure up to $1,000 without prior approval of the board of directors, and that fund expenditure is greater than the cap shall require approval from either the president or treasurer of the board, which may be telephonic, supporting documentation to follow. That's how the wording was revised in that section. Other recommendation from Andy was this had been going back and forth on this category as far as the bad debt reserve. Prior to the last board of director meeting that this was discussed, we decided to put a comment in the operating reserve fund to address bad debts, but we talked through it more, and we decided that at the end of the day, as Andy mentions here, it's revenue not received or uncollectible income that's just carried in the balance sheet as a bad debt. So there's no real reason to make a statement within the operating reserve fund to account for this. So there was a sentence in there that said, included within this fund is a reserve amount adequate to cover 50% of all bad debts over 1 year old or $10,000, whichever is greater. So the recommendation from the Long Range Planning Committee is that we delete this sentence. On the next page, Joe had recommended a couple updates to the reserve meeting procedure. And at the beginning of the procedure, and by the way, I provided to Dave and Lee final versions of these two documents. You know, decide to approve these and move forward, they've got them in a Word version. At the beginning of the document, the operating procedure, recommended that the procedure should be by the company CEO, treasurer giving the general manager authority. So that I believe would be Bob and whoever the treasurer is. The next one, at the end of the document, Joe recommended that we add a table for entering the current year reserves, dollar values, minimum target value, value and authorized value. So I've shown here the table that was inserted. So you can see a lot of CBDs there. And what I suggested is that as a lot of our reserves are in our reimbursables with USDA. So as I mentioned, as our bank account balances are depleted through 2019, my recommendation is until we get our reimbursement from USDA, just show these in the document as CBDs. Next page talks about how the reserves policy was written, assuming that total would be around $801,000 or $802,000. Based on decision to hold off requesting reimbursement for our USDA expenses until 2020, we realized that the amount of money in our bank balances is going to be lower than $802,000. So change the funding of reserves paragraph just a little bit so that it shows that the board of directors shall designate CBD of the existing accumulated unrestricted liquid net assets or bank account balances quite XX percent of the total reserve fund minimum target. Additional fund reserves to achieve the minimum and target levels may also be funded through the general reserve account as long as funds are available, at which time future funding source shall be from shareholder annual base and consumptive water rates. So I felt that until we get the reimbursement for all of our expenses and the MC Engineering expenses, that we could leave the document worded this way, and then once those reimbursements, we can go in and modify the document.
Makes sense.
Any questions on that?
Any questions from the board?
So let's, the next page talks about reserves funding. I guess I kind of already touched on that, but I mentioned the final version of the documents has been provided to Dave and Lee. So what's being recommended is that the Board of Directors approve the documents and an implementation of both documents. Next is what I just pretty much talked about. we should, based on the 2019 total income and expense estimate, with no request for MC Engineering or Blue Lake Springs reimbursement, there may be minimal unrestricted liquid net assets available in our bank accounts to fund the reserves. However, Blue Lake Springs is still solvent. As stated in previous charts, it's estimated that we have about 1.4 of unclaimed reimbursements accumulated through 2018 that may be claimed at any time and made available to fund our reserve needs that may arise. I guess the question to the board is, does the board want to move forward with approving the two documents and implementing them as documents within our system?
Yes. The first document is the reserves fund policy. And you all have a copy of it. Is there a motion to accept?
I move we accept the reserve fund policy.
Second.
Second that.
Anybody on the question? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed say nay. Second matter is an operating procedure for the to create the reserve funds. Entertain a motion to accept.
I move that we accept the operating procedure as proposed.
I'll second it.
On the vote, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed say nay. Thank you. Thank you, Tom.
Hey.
It's in the books.
Great. So as I said, once we move forward and get to the point where we're getting reimbursements, we'll make updates to the documents. So.
Right, and the general manager and staff will work with the long-range planning to see that everything is set up in according to the way you've outlined it.
Yep. Good.
Does that make sense? They'll be working with you to ensure that as we open these, as the policy is subscribed to and we open the accounts, that it falls into what you have planned. Yes.
Great.
Okay. Anything else on long range?
One last item. The next chart is go back to
the service line.
Discussion control their service lines.
I don't have that. I don't know what's going on.
I think we need to mute us.
Tom, we're losing you a little bit.
Oh, you are?
Oh, there we go. There we go.
Got it.
So, can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Bob, it's page 33 of 39 on the deck.
Well, it only goes up to 30. I can only get up to 30.
Oh.
I'll try that again now. Now it craps out. I don't have that.
You need mine. I have it here.
Okay, go ahead.
Can I make a suggestion on this topic? Because there is a separate agenda item specific to this. Some of that discussion is attorney-client privilege, and I would actually recommend moving it to executive session.
This is on the rebate program we're going to talk about.
Right. Or potential.
Potential rebate program? Okay. So moved. So done.
So, my question is, am I allowed in that session?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
That means you have to stay with us longer.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Well, at least it's not going here.
Well, sorry, Tom.
We can send it your way.
Yeah. Thanks for adding that on, Tom. I appreciate it. Anything else from long range?
No. I'm not going to get into the backup charts. I just put those in there so that you could see the details of how the interest was estimated and the disbursement schedule based on the latest drawdown schedule. So
okay.
If anyone has any questions on those, just feel free to contact me.
That we will do. Okay, we have a couple more items and we're going to go to executive session. Unfinished business, item A. Meeting schedule.
Yeah, I had a question. So we, I think at the November meeting, you asked for suggested meeting dates. And
sure.
We sent them out to vote or to get in.
I got very little response.
Right. So I just wanted to make sure that people were. I don't know that everybody got to vote on these or if everybody needed to vote on these or make sure.
We try to, what we engendered to do is get a consensus of how people felt, and there were two options given.
Okay.
And the closest mixture was this one.
Okay.
Okay, some people didn't respond at all, so.
All right.
Okay.
And some of us responded directly to Lee.
That's right.
Okay.
And you got
sorry.
Yeah.
I like this one, personally, but you know, that was me, so. I just.
Yeah. You like the first week?
Sooner or later, we just need to nail it down
yeah.
So I have
yeah.
it in my calendar.
Right. Yeah.
I like messing with you. It's more fun.
Well, then I'm going to miss a whole bunch of meetings if you keep doing that.
On the first?
I'll vote with my feet.
Oh, okay. So moved. Okay.
So B, are we going
to
put...
Item B is going to be deferred to executive session. New business correspondence?
None.
Thank you. Item B, Andy?
Yeah, so I wanted to just have a discussion, a brief, you know, perhaps a brief one. You know, in the compensation recommendation that I put forward, you know, that had the increases and also the outline of a new bonus program for Dave, as well as a potential ad hoc bonus for staff at mid-year to, you know, have get a sense of where we are with
sure.
developing, you know, the performance
okay.
metrics for the year.
Maybe. Dave, you want to go first?
Yeah. After talking, listening to what Andy needed, I can develop a program to evaluate each employee and keep track of their performance over the year, and then at a certain point in the year recommend a certain amount of money, which is not determined yet, but for a sort of a, I guess you could call it a bonus or a merit amount of money for work well done above and beyond what they normally do, which I'm extremely proud of all of our people that work here. They do an excellent job, but they go occasionally go above and beyond what they're supposed to do. One example is one of our employees had to do some work on a service line for or a water box for a customer. Had to make an appointment for her to be home at the time to flush her house out to make sure that her line was clean. And she had other problems, and he helped her with those. It's just that they go beyond, you know, just what normally they're supposed to do. But keeping in mind that they are not going to do something that they're not going to help people do something they don't know how to do, they don't have expertise in. So like the lady says, you know, my car is acting up or something, and he goes in there and blows the car up, you know, and he's not going to do that. But what I'm saying is,
that's okay.
He'll pick up a piece of furniture maybe for her, or move it, or help people. That's what they do, and that's what I think that's what we're here for, is to help people. So anyway, above and beyond what they normally do, and then determine what amount, you know, would be a good reward for that. And that's what I'm working on.
I spent some time with Dave talking about his position and how an award would work for him on a percentage basis. And I've given him some parameters to work with and some goals to work toward. And if they're achieved, then there'll be consideration. If not, then there won't. It's very straightforward. For the employees, if they're awarded cash during the year, and Andy and I talked about this when the idea came up, it'll not be part of their base salary. It'll be a one-time cash award based on performance, exceptional performance. And that's at the call of the manager. As far as the manager is concerned, it's on a percentage basis of his salary. And I will be making the recommendation to you as the board with foundation on how that a percentage is to be considered. And you either affirm, compromise, or deny. For example, one thing that he and I have talked long about and is already in place is developing and pushing his skill that he has to get in front of things. We're great at reacting to business, but what will make us more successful is getting in front of it and anticipating as we move forward, especially with this grant or this loan. So at this point, that's what we've put together.
Okay.
Any questions or comments? Treasurer's position, I think we have a volunteer.
I think it's me. Based on the silence.
Okay, thank you for volunteering. Sharon actually volunteered once before, and when Mr. Bateman said he was going to leave, then he changed his mind. And, but that was then, and that was now. So Sharon will be appointed to the position of treasurer, and it's something that we need. If there's no rare circumstances where we need an endorsement on a check or some other fiduciary responsibility has to be accomplished and the general manager is not around, the treasurer steps in to help. Action. And items. We'll defer that. Any other matters to come forward before we adjourn to executive session? And for that, I'd like the staff to stay. Hearing no objection, I'd like the staff to stay. Okay.
There would be one item I'd like to bring up, but I would prefer the staff not be here.
That's okay, we can do that. We'll handle that accordingly.
The action items?
Action items, yes.
You can see the page that's in there. I'm not sure how much got completed with the state and the reduction of the water usage.
Yeah, I apologize. I haven't completed that. I'm almost sure we're not going to be subject to the long-term conservation mandates, but I still need to nail that down. I'll get back to you.
Okay, for next meeting or in between times?
Yes.
And also, Sharon, you were going to check on the rate consultant. You had a previous employer or someone you dealt with?
Yeah, I'm going to follow up with them. They hadn't heard back, and I think they got caught up with the holidays or something.
So would the board like to keep that on?
Yes.
The action items?
If we could.
Okay, and then the other new action items that I came across today was to develop a program to track the employee's behavior for behavior. I'm not sure that that's a good
performance.
It's performance, not behavior.
Performance, that's a better word.
Yeah. We just discussed that.
Naughty or nice.
Working on that. Yes, done.
And I apologize, but I think there might have been something that was directed towards John from Andy, and I don't quite remember what it was. It was how he was to do the reports. So I will look into that when I go through the meeting minutes and bring it up then and make sure it gets on the action items.
Okay. Yeah, I think we may have covered off on that.
That's critical. Yeah, that's critical piece.
Yeah, I'm not done with that subject.
Well.
Right.
More to follow, can we say?
Yeah.
Okay. Any other items come before the board? Motion to adjourn to executive session.
So moved.
Second.
I don't think we need.